Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We're so blessed each week that you take the time to listen. Our prayer is that we'll all come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. We've been working in the book of Ephesians for the last several weeks. We have the podcast recorded there on the radio station. You can go to the website of the radio station. You can go to our website, www.theseedchristianfellowship.com, and listen to those are YouTubes. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. We worship at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Many of you can't join us in person, but you can join us on the live stream. You can chat, you can offer up prayers, you can fellowship, and you can worship, and you can grow in grace. Our Old Testament reading today is a passage that is usually read around Christmas time. It comes from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, when he proclaims that a child will be born to us, will become the light for those who sit in darkness. The child's name, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Listen to the prophet Isaiah today. We will then turn to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and we will hear what Paul has to say to the church in Ephesus. Before we go to God's word, let us come to the Lord in prayer. Lord God Almighty, we come to your throne of grace and seek your face in prayer. May your living word become alive and redemptive within us. May your living word shape and fashion us into the people of God that we are called to be. May your living word bring those of us who are far away and those of us who are near to hear once again your wonderful words of peace and hope. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 9, 6 through 7, and then we'll be in Ephesians chapter 2, 11 through 22. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, we have a couple in our church that bought cases of Bibles, and they're giving them away for free. We'd gladly mail you a Bible and also a reference book. Just email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and we'll mail you a Bible and a reference book. Isaiah chapter 9, 6 and 7. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us, authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Now let's turn to the New Testament reading, Ephesians chapter 2, 11 to 22. So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh we have made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death the hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Well, over the past several weeks, we've been working our way through Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. Our good friend Paul loved this church and spent the most time in this church than any other church he planted. He lived among the brothers and sisters in Ephesus for 3 years, teaching and praying, preaching and working and living with his friends, his brothers and sisters in Christ. The church was made up of Jews and Gentiles, Greeks and Romans, males and females, slaves and free men and women. This was a metropolitan church containing and reflecting much diversity. When we come to this final section of chapter 2, we need to remember where we have been with Paul. Paul used the first chapter to teach about the marks of a church. In this chapter, Paul lays out the marks of a Christian. Here, Paul details the past, present, and future of those who believe. Last week's message was titled, Wanted, Dead, But God, Alive. For those of us who believe, we were dead in our trespasses, but God intervened in the life of it by his only Son, Jesus, and were made alive in Christ. Harry Ironsides was a well-known pastor and teacher who became pastor at Moody Bible Church in Chicago. He relates the power of chapter 2 of Ephesians in a personal story. Let me share it. Once he was on a train going to Southern California to preach, and he was approached by a gypsy. The young gypsy woman sat down beside him and said, "Would you like your fortune told? Cross my palm with a silver quarter, and I will tell you your past, present, and future." Ironside responded by saying, "Are you very sure that you can do that? I'm Scottish, and I would not want to part with my silver without getting a full value of it." The gypsy replied very earnestly, "Oh, yes, gentlemen, please, I will tell you all." And at that point, Ironside reached into his pocket and pulled out his New Testament. He said to the gypsy, "It is not necessary for you to tell me my future, because here I have a book that tells me all, my past, present, and future." He then turned to the second chapter of Ephesians and began reading the very words that we are studying today. "You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses. We were by nature children of wrath like everyone else." He said, Dr. Ironside said, "This is my past." The woman tried to get away. "That is plenty," she protested. "I do not care to hear more." But wait, Ironside said. "There is more. Here is my present. But God, who is rich in mercy out of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ." No more, the gypsy protested. "Here is my future too," Ironside wrote and said, "so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For grace, you have been saved through faith. By grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one can boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand be our way of life." By this time, the gypsy was on her feet heading down the aisle of the train saying, "I picked the wrong man." I don't know where you're at in your life, but I don't know where you've been. I don't know your present, but I know your future if you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. God knows your past. God knows your present situation, and God knows your future. We want you to walk with him. Last week, we learned how we were all dead in our sin, our debts, our transgressions, our trespasses, our sins, but God. Two words, but God. These two words are filled with power. They're filled with grace, they're filled with hope, and they're filled with peace and love. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. A good verse to put to memory. No matter what our past is, but God redeemed us. Our present is secure, and so is our future. We have been saved by grace, by the amazing grace of God, through his only Son, Jesus Christ, born of a child, born as a child with quite a past, present, and future. Listen again to Isaiah. For a child has been born to us, a son given to us, authority rests on his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and hold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. Wow. Last week it was but God. This week it is so then. So then. Let us now turn our attention to another set of two words, so then. Paul uses so then to describe our relationship with God found in Christ. So then, remember you Gentiles were separate and excluded. You were aliens and strangers. You were once you had no hope and you were without God. You were far away. You were separate from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship from Israel. You were foreigners to the covenant of promise given to the father Abraham and his seed. You were without hope. Paul is writing about the temple in Jerusalem. For the Gentiles of Paul's time, the temple was a symbol of alienation and separation. The temple in Paul's day was rebuilt by King Herod. It was overlaid with gold and very ornate. Here's how it was laid out. The innermost court was the court of the priest, and only male members of the tribe of Levi were allowed to enter into that court. Within this court was the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was stored, and the holy place. Next was the court of Israel. All male Jews could enter there. Then there was the court of the women, which any Jew, male or female, could enter. All these courtyards were on the same level. Beyond the court of the women, one descended 5 steps to a level area. There was a 5-foot stone wall that went around this temple court. From the level there, there were 14 more steps to descend into the court of the Gentiles. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. If you'd like to have prayer, our prayer team would like to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship and click on the prayer icon, and we'll pray for you. According to Jewish historians, Josephus, the wall dividing the Jews, I'm talking about the Temple of Jerusalem, the wall separating the Jews from the Gentiles was marked at intervals by stone inscriptions stating that no foreigner was permitted to enter the Jewish enclosures upon the penalty of death. In essence, you probably have seen those signs. I grew up in a country, and there's those signs that say trespassers will be shot on sight. What a vivid image of alienation, separation, and exclusion. Have you ever been alienated? That's a good so what question. Have you ever been alienated? Have you ever, well, maybe say it this way. Have you ever been excluded? Have you ever been separated? My wife's grandmother, her name was Lena, Antonina, and they called her Lena, shared with us that when she came to America from Sicily by boat, she was only 7 years old. She was put on the boat with her 4-year-old brother by her beloved aunt. They were heading to New York to meet up with their mom and dad and brothers and sisters. Think of that for a minute. A little 7-year-old girl and her 4-year-old brother traveling across the Atlantic by themselves for 2 weeks in the basement of a boat. When they arrived at Ellis Island, my wife and I just returned from Ellis Island, and we looked up all the records and saw their names. When they arrived at Ellis Island, they had the German measles and were put in quarantine in a hospital on Ellis Island. They didn't speak English. They were given tags to wear around their necks, and it said WOP, WOP. WOP? Well, they were Italians. They were from Sicily. But WAP meant without papers. Today, it's become a slang and somewhat of, well, a derogatory word of people of Italian descent. Maybe you are Italian and you understand the slight intended. Maybe you are a person of a different race or color and you understand what it means to be slighted or alienated or excluded. Paul is right here writing to us about being alienated, excluded, and separated. Have you ever been alienated? Have you ever been excluded? Have you ever been separated? Growing up in St. Louis, my wife went to a Catholic grade school and high school. The elementary school she attended was located right next to a public grade school. A chain-link fence divided the two playgrounds. Catholic children were told to stay away from the fence and not talk to the public kids on the other side of the fence. When my wife, Jack, met me in 1972, she referred to me as a public. As we dated and became engaged, Jack's family wasn't all that keen on me being a public. Now, for the other side of the story, I was brought up in a little farming community in Rochelle, Illinois. I took my wife to meet my grandmother raised me. She was a staunch Scottish, Irish, English grandmother who raised me. I introduced my young bride-to-be to my grandmother. I call her Nanny and Anna. And I said, "Nana, this is Jacqueline Ann Marie Truppiano, and we're engaged to be married." My nanny looked at her and said, "With a name like that, you must be Italian. I suppose you're Catholic, too." "Well, I'm not going to a Catholic wedding." And she didn't. When our oldest daughter was born, my nanny came to the house to meet her first great-granddaughter. He took our little daughter in her arms and looked her into the eyes and said, "Jennifer, you can be a DAR, daughter of the American Revolution, but your mommy can't." My wife, she has a sense of humor if you ever get to meet her. My wife had enough of this alienation stuff, well, from both sides, and she responded, "That's okay, Nanny. I'm pretty sure it was my people who drove the boat your people sailed on. Christopher Columbus was the Italian who brought the pilgrims across the Atlantic." Folks, this story I'm telling you about was in 1974, not 1492. Have you ever been alienated? Have you ever been excluded? Have you ever felt separated? Good. The good news is that Paul is writing to us. So then, remember, you have been alienated, excluded, and separated, but now. The good news that Paul now delivers to those who have been excluded, who feel like aliens, who see the walls that separate them, two more small words, but no. Last week it was "but God." This week it's "but now." "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing walls, that is, the hostility between us." Boy, do we need that at this time in our lives. With all the political divisions, with all the family disruptions, with all that's going on in our world, we need the hostility to be broken down. Christ has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he, Jesus, came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through Christ, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple of the Lord. Now, take a deep breath. You get what Paul's trying to tell the people of his day? And he's also telling us, but now, because of Jesus, there is no Court of the Priest, no Holy of Holies, no holy place, no men-only court of Israel, and no court of the women. There's no 5-foot wall that separates the superior Jews from the lowly Gentiles. And there are no 19 steps descending down from up there anymore. Now there's just an empty cross and an empty tomb and a risen Christ. The dividing walls have been torn down once and for all. The tiny child born in Bethlehem, the Prince of Peace, has come to establish peace for all of us, Jew and Gentile, male and female, slave and free, black and white, yellow or brown or red, north or south, east or west, Republican or Democrat. I don't know what's dividing you. Jesus has come to proclaim peace, but now we are one in Christ. So what? Let's wrap it up. During World War II, a group of American soldiers lost their buddy in battle. They carried his body to the only cemetery in the area, which happened to be a Catholic one. When the priest was told that the dead man was not Catholic, he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, but he cannot be buried here." The disheartened and discouraged soldiers decided to do what they thought was the next best, and during the night, they buried their comrade just outside the cemetery fence. They returned the next morning to pay their last respects, but they could not find a grave outside the fence. When they told the priest of their quandary, he said, "The first part of the night, I stayed awake, sorry for what I told you. The second part of the night, I spent moving the fence." So what? What does this passage mean for us today? Are we looking to a gypsy to tell us our past and present and future?
No.
We have the answers right here in this Bible, and it tells us our past, our present, and our future. Wherever we have been alienated, excluded, or separated, hear the good news. God has moved the fence. Paul tells us that Jesus is our peace. Jesus made peace, and Jesus preached peace. Prince of Peace came to bring peace to those who were far away, us Gentile sinners, and also to bring peace to those who were near, the Jews. Jesus is the foundation and the cornerstone for our identity and unity in God. The walls have been broken down. The fence has been moved. When we come to the communion table, We pray that we would have eyes to see that the dividing walls of sin and separation are moved, and we can build on the foundation knowing that Jesus brings us peace. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with. And, you know, it's hard to speak on the radio because I can't see your faces. I pray each week as I prepare these messages, I pray for God's heart. I say, "God, give me your heart for these people." We don't know what you're struggling with. He does. He knows your past. He knows your present. And he knows your future. He knows where he wants to bring peace, for he's the Prince of Peace. Maybe it's been the dividing walls of a broken relationship. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's politics. Maybe it's whatever's facing you. Jesus is moving the fence and wanting us to enter into his relationship. Let us pray. Oh Lord God Almighty, we give you thanks that we can come to you today without any separating walls. We give you thanks for sending your Son, the Prince of Peace, who brought peace to us that were far off. We give thanks for the gift of peace that comes to us from Christ. May the peace that Christ came to preach fill our hearts and our homes, and let us be peacemakers with Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you. I pray that the Lord may make his face to shine upon you. I pray that the Lord would be gracious unto you this day and always. Go in peace and break down the dividing walls. Be a peacemaker and a peace giver. Know that God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed week. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center. at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.